Welcome to the Steelers Battle League Podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you today?
James, I am fantastic. I got all the paint off of my hands today, which was really good. Was doing some painting earlier at a house that I was working on recently for some friends. But I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm good, man.
Just good?
Just good. That's it.
That's fair. Football seems far away now. We're probably as far away from it as we are going to be this week. You know, it was last Thursday, and then this Saturday, it's Tuesday. Yeah. We're probably about as far away from football as we can be right now.
Right smack in the middle of the two games. You know, it's kind of anticlimactic in the middle of the week other than the things happening. People being cut, people being extended, people being restructured.
All the traded things.
There's a lot to go over in today's show.
That there is. Let's start it off with what happened before the most recent preseason game against the Eagles.
That sounds like that makes sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. Timetable wise, makes perfect sense. Joe Hayden.
Yeah, apparently his agent asking for a contract extension.
Not for the agent, but for Joe.
I mean, it would be
probably both. Yeah, that's true.
Same time, but yeah. So Joe Hayden's deal is up at the end of this upcoming season. And I want to say he's 31 years old now. Mm-hmm. So not typically the age when you go ahead and extend your corners. So I think if Pittsburgh were to do it, it wouldn't be more than a one-year extension, personally.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it would be smart to do it more than that. Just because you never know, like, when guys get on the wrong side of 30, that athletic cliff just happens sometimes. You're fine, and then you fall off the cliff.
Yeah, and it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
Joe's could be tomorrow.
Yeah, it's completely unpredictable. He could have four more years in the league before he gets slow. But if you ask me, it looks like kind of the last couple of years he's lost a little bit on his speed.
Yeah.
Personally, it usually takes him till about week 5 or 6 to get back in the rhythm of things. So I don't know that I would be in a big hurry to extend him if I were Pittsburgh.
No, and we already know that you want Denzel Ward, so.
Well, yeah, he's going to be corner one for us.
Fair enough.
Since the Browns are going to be broke as a joke.
They already kind of are.
Yeah, they really. Did you see what they did with that contract extension with Chubb? I just heard about this.
I did not. No, fill me in.
So it's basically almost nothing against the cap the next 2 years. Not until 2023 does it majorly hit the cap, and then it's like 13 mil and then 14 the year after that.
Jeez.
They did it all in like lump sum payment up front.
Because they're trying to do what we did. Trying to get to the point where they have that financial freedom.
Yep.
Yikes.
Which isn't going to matter once they extend Baker anyway.
Yeah.
But I think it's just to try to free up the cap space to be able to sign Baker next year, honestly.
True. Because you still got Baker and Myles Garrett to sign, and those are two hefty.
Garrett's under contract.
I thought he was No, never mind. Who am I thinking of?
Denzel Ward?
Well, Denzel Ward, we don't expect him to re-sign. There was another guy.
Guard, too.
Yes. Conklin?
No. Dang, that's it. The tackle. Wyatt.
Teller. Thank you.
Yeah, Wyatt Teller.
I knew there was another big person that they wanted to keep.
Yeah, he's coming up, too. It's going to be very tough for them.
So Wyatt Teller, they already signed Chubb. They got Garrett. They're going to have to sign, there's going to be other middle ground guys that are going to take up some cap space. It's going to be rough for them. It's going to be rough for them, for sure.
It's about time, man.
Yeah,
Enough time for us to be the only ones dealing with cap issues. Because we're the only ones with good players.
True. Apparently, did you see? Again, James and I talk about Madden sometimes because we think it's funny how the video game portrays players in real life. Pittsburgh only has four players in like the top, I think it was the top 20 AFC North players. Pittsburgh only has four in the top 20. I think Cleveland and Baltimore both have 7. And then I think the Bengals have 1 or 2. Yeah.
This isn't mathing.
I know. Well, 1 or 2. 7 and 7 is 14.
Yeah.
At our 4 is 18. And then I think the Bengals have 2.
So the rest of the AFC only has one player in the top 20 of the entire AFC.
No. AFC North.
Oh, okay.
AFC North only.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now it's starting to make a little more sense.
But it was still, I was like, wow. Like that. And we won our division last year.
Yeah, but if you think about it, man, who are you really going to put up there? It's Cam, it's TJ, it's Minka, and then probably Tuitt.
Juju, he played well.
Yeah, but most people aren't going to rate him high enough for that.
That's fair.
Because when you look at it, you know, his yards per catch last year was under 9 yards per catch. He didn't have a ton of TDs. He didn't have a ton of yards. Like,
I guess.
Yeah.
It's just funny. It's just funny to me.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens with real life.
Yeah, I think it'll work out better in real life than it does in the video games right
100%.
Now. That's for sure. Melvin Ingram apparently has been a very large bully against the run thus far in practice.
We need that.
Yes.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
Bully mentality.
Yes.
The old Joey Porter mindset. Be the villain.
That's it. Don't let them push you around. You push them around.
Listen, we need the nasty on defense as much as we need the nasty on offense.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before. No doubt. You don't know what we're talking about, you need to go back and listen to other episodes to understand.
Fair enough. Speaking of the nasty on defense, in the game, here's the nasty starters.
Let's go.
Melvin Ingram and Alex Highsmith were on the outsides. Chris Wormley with Henry Mondeau on the defensive ends.
Your boy.
And then Isaiah Bugs, the starting nose tackle. They actually started in base instead of nickel, which is a little bit different from normal. Spillane and Bush are starting middle linebackers as expected. Trey Norwood starting free safety with... Minka getting the day off. Edmonds got the chance to start, so that's good to see him healthy and in the game.
Yep.
And then we had James Pierre and Cameron Sutton starting outside again. Joe Haden not being played kind of the same as...
I mean, he's 32 years old.
Yeah.
needs a break in the preseason.
Him to it. Hey, they don't have anything to prove. So none of them had to play. When they switched to nickel, then Arthur Mollett came in again. Antoine Brooks Jr., still has a leg injury, did not play in this game. Starting offense on the other side, Mason, of course, started off a quarterback again.
Yep.
Okorafor left tackle, Rashad Coward at left guard, Green at center, Trey Turner at right guard, and then Joe Haig at right tackle. So getting a little bit closer to what we expect to be the starting unit.
Yep. The actual guys that will be starting week one.
Yep. So that's three of them. Now we'll see what happens when the other two get in there, hopefully this week. I've heard that Banner's practicing a little closer to full.
Good.
So maybe he might get the go this week.
Saturday night.
But Dotson also started practicing with the first unit the last couple days.
Good.
Which I think is in response to how much butt he kicked against the Eagles.
Which was a lot.
Which we'll get into that.
We will.
skill guys. Harris, of course, started. Running back, Ebron, the starting tight end. Juju Claypool and Deontay Johnson, the wide receivers. So no surprise on any of those.
Not at all. We're used to seeing those guys out there. The only thing that was surprising as far as wide receivers concerned... and James and I had some theories in the game once you heard about, you know, middle of the second quarter, I think, you heard about the trade for Joe Schobert that we'll get to a little bit. But we were alluding, okay, who haven't we seen? We never saw James Washington once.
Yeah, which apparently was an injury.
Yeah, so we definitely thought he was being traded, but just injured. So, again, not used to seeing that. Normally you'd see James Washington out there. With the second team offense,
yeah.
At least.
And it didn't even dawn on us during the game, but Ray McLeod didn't play either.
Yeah.
He was also injured for the game.
Yeah.
So you had a few guys that would normally contribute pretty heavily in a preseason game. Even at running back, you know, Benny Snell and Kalen Ballage both missed the game also.
Yeah. I was sad for both. Benny Snell we haven't seen yet this year, so that was like really, still really sad. But I was excited to see what Ballage had, you know, 2 weeks in a row. Could he do the same thing again? Because he ran very well week one.
Yeah, you got to keep putting it together. Can't just be 1 week. So very important that he continues week three and four in the preseason with some more good performances. Before we get into individuals really from the game, important as far as the rotation, who came in and with second units. On defense, when we started seeing some backups come in, it was Carlos Davis and Isaiah Loudermilk
Yep.
In the nickel. So they were the next ones in. Also, we forgot to mention this last time, but they've started using Carlos Davis in kick coverage.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. That was fun to watch.
So he apparently is also pursuing a very similar role to Henry Mondo. And let's be real, he's got some pretty good athleticism for a
defensive lineman. He makes it down there pretty quick.
I mean, I want to say he was like a 4.8 something 40-yard dash.
A big boy.
So he's pretty quick for how big he is. So another athletic defensive lineman trying to just make himself useful, you know.
Yeah.
So if they both make the team and they use them on the punt block unit, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be very, very fun.
Your backup outside linebackers, next men in, were Cassius Marsh and Jameer Jones.
Which Jameer Jones had himself a day.
Boy, did he ever.
Jameer Jones wound up leading the team in total tackles with only four, but still three of those being solo, one a sack. He hit the QB twice. The man was on fire all night.
We had a tackle for loss.
Yeah, and the just tackle for loss.
All over the place, man. What a game he had for sure. And Quincy Roche came in after the two of them. I want to say Marsh really wasn't out there for very long, honestly.
He wasn't.
I feel like Quincy Roche was brought in pretty soon afterwards.
Yeah, Marsh didn't even register any kind of stat on the game to put himself up there. So, Marsh wasn't in there long, but they also I think they know more what they have with him than other people, which is why you see different guys coming in. But Quincy Roche came in, had a half sack. Not bad for him.
Yeah.
He shared that half sack with Isaiah Loudermilk, which are two young guys, two rookies. You want to see him get in the quarterback like that. So that was great to see.
Yeah. Yeah. They're both trying to prove themselves. And it's really important. You know, there's only a few preseason games, so got to make a splash, otherwise you're going to be sitting on that practice squad.
Yep.
Or on another team.
or at home watching football on Sundays.
Yeah. Offense, we saw Mr. Haskins in as the second quarterback, as we expected.
Yes, sir.
And then Kevin Dotson came in at left guard. Rico Bussey and Isaiah McCoy were the next wide receivers in, and Jalen Samuels the next running back.
Halfback. Running back.
Yeah. Also worth noting, that second team offensive line really just did an awesome job.
They did
Dan Moore Jr. was the left tackle. Dotson was at left guard. We had J.C. Hassenhauer at center. And then right guard and right tackle. I think it was Finney at right guard. Right tackle I don't have on the top of my head. Yeah, I don't remember for sure.
That's okay. But again, these guys coming in, the second team offensive line played very well to the point where Pro Football Focus
had three of them rated really highly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Joe Haig, Kevin Dotson, and then Dan Moore Jr. All three of them were like 90s in their grading.
Which is great.
Yeah, which is absolutely fantastic. So this is real important, especially for the rookies, you know. Dan Moore Jr. being a fourth-round pick, nobody really expected him to be much other than just a backup that maybe eventually could develop into a starter. If he keeps this up, he's going to push Chooks for the starting job. And this week, they actually started practicing him at right tackle as well. So now you have to start looking at, is he going to be the top backup offensive tackle and pass Joe Haig?
Yeah.
He doesn't have experience on the right side, but I'm sure he can learn it.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
He's still fighting people in practice, too.
He's still fighting people in practice.
He's nuts. I love it.
We got to see Pat Freiermuth come in, and him and Dan Moore Jr. both open up massive holes for Jalen Samuels to run through. Like, Jalen Samuels had himself a game, but Jalen Samuels also had about a highway to run through.
Yeah.
As far as the hole size.
Really open lanes, and big thanks to that second team offensive line and Pat Freiermuth coming in and blocking with those guys. Pat, I thought, had a great game blocking. You know, he did get called for a holding penalty on one of the early drives. But as far as blocking, I saw him put a bunch of people on the ground. He even did a hip toss to one guy.
Yeah.
Got the arm underneath him and then just like friggin', I can only call it a hip toss.
That's what it was.
Guy on the ground.
That's what it was.
Perfectly legal. And, I just like seeing it. You know, you were hearing all off season, anytime he caught a ball, which apparently he didn't drop like anything ever all off season.
Yeah.
Guy's got incredible hands. But every time he caught a ball, Coach Tomlin said, "That's nice, but can you block?" Well, he's starting to show he can block.
Good. Because that's what we need. And like we've talked about it before with our offensive line, but especially in the other guys that are going to be coming in, if you put in a tight end out there that can't block, it's a liability, and it shows that, hey, they're probably running. We need Pat Freiermuth to keep blocking like this because he's done a phenomenal job. At least even alone in that Philadelphia Eagles game, did a phenomenal, phenomenal job.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's get going through the positions here. Starting off with our quarterbacks, like we said, Mason Rudolph started the game. It was 8-for-9 for 77 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. And the only incomplete pass that he had hit Najee Harris in the hands. Unfortunately, it was a little bit high, and the ball was probably thrown a little late. If he would have made the decision earlier, Najee would have had a chance to secure the ball and then go get some yards afterwards.
Yep.
But, you know, he had the best completion percentage of the night and the best average yards per completed pass. Just ended up on third and long that was too long and they couldn't convert.
Yeah. Yeah. The only reason Mason Rudolph didn't come up away with points on any of his drives was because they kept having holding calls.
Yeah. Two holding calls. And then I think there was something else. I forget what the third one was.
I don't think it was a legal formation, but it was.
Yeah. All three of them. Yeah. All three drives that he was out there for had 10 plus yard penalties that they just couldn't overcome. But you know what? Pretty good night for Mason. And honestly, we'd be talking about it in an even greater light if it wasn't for the fact that Dwayne Haskins had such a good night.
Yeah.
Almost night and day from his first outing, which, you know, his first outing wasn't bad.
It was just all those checkdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just the checkdown Charlie problem, which you hate to see. This time he pushed the ball down the field a little bit better.
Yeah. He wound up being 16 of 22 for 161 yards. Averaged 7.3 yards per completion, and had the only touchdown pass on the game. So that was really, really nice to see. He didn't get sacked at all. He handled the pressure well. He definitely played the best, I think, out of all the quarterbacks that night, just simply for the fact that he was able to orchestrate drives to get up points. Even when they only led to 3 points, it was points on the board consistently.
Yeah, yeah, I felt like he made some good reads and adjusted to pressure well. You know, he moved in the pocket. I felt like his first drive was a little bit rough, and then he just got in the scheme of things after that, and in just every drive, he scored.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was a running back finishing the drive off with a touchdown or him throwing it, they just kept on getting in the end zone or getting a field goal, and that's what it's all about, man. He got to finish drives with some points to win in the NFL.
Yeah, it even got to the point where this week he actually ran with some of the ones.
Yeah.
And Mike Tomlin downplayed it a lot, but he did. So nice
seeing.
But
it's time, you know?
Yeah,
it's time to see. Mason got his turn in the first two games. It's time for him to get a chance, and it might not be this upcoming game because he would expect Ben to play with the first team.
Yep.
But probably not more than one or two series. If Haskins gets to come in after that and you continue with all the other starters, this is a great opportunity for him. If he can build on what he did in this game, now you start talking. Now you might have something.
Yeah, 100%. Somebody, you know, that I talked to recently was saying how they don't even expect Dwayne Haskins to make the team. This was before this game, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're like, Josh Dobbs is just too good of a... He can come in and close the game out. And I'm like, okay. And then we talked again after the game. And I'm like, Josh Dobbs came in through a pick. Like, Dobbs had the worst game I've ever seen him play in preseason.
And that's tough to say when he only had one incomplete pass.
True.
It was a pick.
But well, that's my point, is typically he comes in and plays really well.
Yeah.
To the point where he typically doesn't have more interceptions than touchdowns in the preseason games. But again, you're right. He had one incomplete pass that happened to be an interception. It was a forced pass.
It was a bad read.
Yeah.
That's all it was. He had one bad read. The rest of them he completed. And honestly, I think maybe you see a little bit more in his stat column, except the end of the game when he was playing. Pittsburgh was just trying to run the ball out and run the clock and get away.
Yep.
I felt like they had learned as much as they wanted to learn about their players, and they wanted to just get out of there injury-free at that point.
Can't blame them for that.
No,
that's for sure.
No, it's a smart play. But when we move on to the running backs, we only saw two carries out of Najee, but again, looked good in the process. Jalen Samuels had the best games he's had probably since that game against the Patriots.
Oh, hands down.
He actually looked pretty good, and I'm hoping that was enough for him to build a little value in the trade market, and maybe we can get a sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick for him.
Let's just get the sixth. Let's
just trade.
Make up for the one that we just traded for.
We didn't even talk about that yet.
I know. We'll get to there.
They don't know. None of them have the news.
Yeah, none of them know football. None of them see the Steelers updates. We'll talk about the sixth round pick that the Steelers no longer have. We'll get there. But yeah, Jalen Samuels played phenomenally well. The only player that technically played better than him, in my opinion, would have been Tony Brooks James, who came in. He had one less carry, but six more yards than him. No crazy stat-wise. He didn't have a touchdown or anything. But Tony Brooks James didn't have, if I remember correctly, the massive gaping holes that Jalen Samuels had.
No,
like, Tony Brooks James made some plays.
He's quick, man.
Quick boy.
There is a very clear mold of what Matt Canada likes. And it starts with Anthony McFarland, who I thought had a very explosive game. When you look at his yards per carry, it doesn't show like some of the other guys. But he really made it happen. A great vision on the touchdown play. He never gave up. He kept driving his legs. He found where there was a hole, and he got across the line and reached across for the touchdown. But McFarland, you know, less than 200 pounds, quick as it gets. Tony Brooks James, a little bit skinnier yet than Anthony McFarland.
Yeah.
And very quick. Pete Guerrero, same thing.
Yep.
Smaller, quick dude. This is definitely a mold. And I'm excited to see what they do in the next couple of games, because I keep on hearing about a lot of pistol formation in practice, and they haven't used it in a game yet. But in pistol, you typically do have two running backs.
And Najee can block.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what you want to use him for all the time, but he can block.
Yeah, he's got no problem there.
Nope, big boy. Compared to the other guys especially.
You know who I really want to see him block this year?
Hang on, let me think. Is it? Oh, you want to see him block Myles Garrett?
Nope.
No.
No, I don't want to see that, because that's a bad matchup for him. That, okay. That might not go well.
I'm assuming it's
right
on,
team. That's the
right team. You want to see him block? Is it a corner?
It's a rookie linebacker.
For the Browns?
Yep, Jeremiah Onwusu-Koromoa.
Oh, yep, yep.
Dude, so I watched that game.
The Jags and, game?
Yeah.
Okay. The Browns-Jags game.
He's quick. He's real quick, but boy, is he small. I don't think that dude's bigger than about 215, and he's playing linebacker.
Jeez. Well, we'll see
what
happens.
He's going to get bullied by offensive linemen and running backs. Najee's going to run him over
the
next
4 years. I want to see it.
The next 4 years
straight.
It'll be
more than 4 years.
He's just going to keep on running him over.
It'll be more than 4 years. Anyways, moving on to the receivers on the day. My boy.
Rico.
Bussey Jr.
That's the man.
Rico Bussey. 4 catches, 45 yards. He averaged 11.3 per catch. He was targeted 4 times, caught 4 balls. What more do you have to say?
That's great, man.
That's Rico Bussey.
A long 24. He's stretching the field a little bit.
Number 84 in your heart. Number 84 on the field. Number 1 in your heart. I knew what I meant, guys. Don't laugh. It's okay.
There's only 85 left, and he's 84 in our hearts.
But Rico Bussey came out and played very well.
He played great. You know, for a guy that's trying to fight for that last sixth wide receiver spot, if they keep 6 or get on the practice squad, yeah, he's really showing well. So we'll see. Maybe he gets an opportunity in the kick or punt return game in the next couple of games here.
Yeah,
he'll definitely get some more play time on the field. And he proved it to be worthwhile on the opportunities he was given. Cody White had 5 catches for 39 yards. Nice performance out of Cody.
Oh, absolutely.
And then Anthony Johnson once again showing the veteran savvy, even though he's not a guy that's been on the active roster. He's been hanging around the practice squad for a few years, and he got himself hanging around in the end zone for a touchdown, too. So This kid, didn't he get one of the first game too?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I think he it was a low pass the first game.
Yeah, I think he had one, the one from Dobbs in the first
game. Listen.
It's turning into a battle, man. The two of them.
It's turning into insane.
I think the two of them are really fighting it out for
because
that
unless
spot.
Unless they trade, here's the thing. Unless they trade James Washington.
Which, at this point, I don't think they're going to do.
Your top three are set.
Four.
Well, I'm saying for sure. Like,
okay,
like,
I see.
Not including James Washington. Your top three are Claypool, or Juju Claypool and Deontay.
Yeah.
As straight as it gets. Yeah, that's what you're getting.
And if you don't trade Washington, now he's your top four definitely concrete.
And then five, you have to assume they're favoring
Ray
or the other guy, Matthew Sexton.
And if it's not Ray, then it's got to be a guy with returnability.
Which would be Matthew Sexton.
Which would bring you Matthew Sexton.
So then you have Ray, who's still fighting for a spot, Rico Bussey, who's still fighting for a spot, Anthony Johnson, who's still fighting for a spot. And even if you want to throw Cody White in there.
Yeah.
Five catches for 39 yards is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's a battle.
It's like, this is wild.
This is what I love about the preseason, man.
I know. And I talk to people about it. And I'm one of those people that didn't always love preseason. I didn't. I was like, these games don't matter. Well, they don't matter to me as a fan, personally. But they matter.
Boy, do they matter.
Like, more to, like, to some degree, more than regular season. Like, this is the people's, like, I don't even know.
Some people will get one shot at the NFL, and that's it. And it's their everything.
Yep. And they're fighting for it.
You make the practice squad, you're making almost $200,000 a year. You don't make the practice squad, guess what? If you go play in some, like, crazy weird league, you might make $20,000 a year,
which is wild.
Go to the CFL, maybe you'll make six figures. Maybe
doubtful.
Arena league is probably less. In between the two.
Yeah, you're probably looking at 60 like, to 70.
Yeah, maybe
if you're a starter,
if you're in a big market.
Yeah, like it's drastic. It's drastic. Yeah. XFL doesn't appear to be going anywhere right now, no. So it's not like you have that to fall back on.
That's like another year or two before that comes back, right?
Yep. So yeah, I mean, keep your eyes open. James and I are more than likely next week going to be going over our 53-man roster predictions.
Yes, we will be.
Let me
clarify. I'm just straight up saying we're going to do it.
So be prepared to hear us get into some heckling things. I don't know. We're going to...
Yeah, man, there's going to be some spirited conversations and disagreements.
Pat Freiermuth is not made. No, I'm just kidding. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be absolutely wild to talk about this. I don't want to hang around here too long. We got an entire defense to talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about this defense, man. Loudermilk again. I'm going straight there. Loudermilk again having another good performance, pushing the pocket, getting after the quarterback, getting a half a sack. The dude is starting to really make a strong case for himself. And again, I don't think that they would normally be worried about whether or not he'd make the team because he traded away a future fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
You drafted him in the fifth round. But it's a stark contrast from what you see on him versus the guy that was picked previous to him in Buddy Johnson.
Yep.
Who's struggling to get playing time. Loudermilk's getting tons of playing time and really making the most of it.
Well, and even with what they did after the game, or during the game, whatever, it's going to make it harder for Buddy Johnson, which, again, we'll get
so
to
much
later.
Harder, yeah.
But listen, I got to tell you something.
Let's just talk about Joe Schober right now.
Well, I got to tell you something off topic, just a hair.
Yeah, go ahead.
My fridge is better than yours, because my milk is louder. Louder milk. Sorry, I just had to make a joke.
Oh, Lord.
Anyways, yeah, Joe Schober.
I was like, get out of here. I got a door in the door.
I don't. Joe Schober, the inside linebacker drafted by the Cleveland Browns 5 years ago?
Yeah, 2016.
Was now playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars since 2019.
Five-year deal.
On a five-year deal worth like 60-some-odd million or something.
Yeah,
and,
10 or 11 a year.
Pittsburgh traded for him. He's good. He's not... I don't see him...
He's a one-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
The year he got in the Pro Bowl was the year that Ryan Shazier was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Shazier was actually voted in that year, obviously could not perform in the Pro Bowl. Joe Schobert was the alternate that was brought into it. he is a turnover machine as far as interceptions. He's got 7 picks in the last 2 years, combining the 2 years.
Yeah,
not,
yeah.
Not 7.
Not 7-7.
No, not 7-7.
That'd
seven.
Be wild.
That'd be a lot.
Be 14. There's the math.
We'd be giving up a lot more than a 6th-round pick.
Yeah, for. and that's so, all we traded for was a 6th.
And then here's the crazy thing. So when this news broke, we're sitting there watching the game. And I'll be real. I was a little upset because I really want Pittsburgh to give Robert Spillane a chance.
Yep.
I want Buddy Johnson to get a chance. And even UG3, his first preseason game, I thought was decent. I want to see these guys get a chance to develop and see if they can turn into something. And by doing this, none of them are going to get the opportunity. But compensation is everything, right? And having to only give up a 6th-round pick to get him is pretty incredible because he is day one a better linebacker than any of those three that I just mentioned, not to mention Marcus Allen,
true,
who is also now going to be fighting for his life.
Well, and even that, with that being said, the Jacksonville Jaguars are still paying $3 million of his contract or something like that.
Yeah, 3.75. They're paying half the contract for this year, so it only hits the Steelers' salary cap for 3.75.
The only thing I got to say is I'm confused because that doesn't make sense to me.
He doesn't fit their scheme. That's it.
They're dumb. I mean, they released frickin' Tim Tebow today. They're dumb. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you're not going to get any disagreement out of me on that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Unless you're looking at his blocking, and then he definitely had to be released.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
But, yeah, realistically.
He's going to come in and play. Schobert's coming in.
Yeah.
Day one starter.
He's going to start, and they're saying he might even be the green dot.
Yeah, he'll be the play caller.
Calling defense. So, Devin Bush could really honestly
learn from him.
Learn from him and get the stress out, man. It's a
which
stress
we've already
job.
Seen him play it. We've already seen him do well in understanding certain things, throwing a cornerback on the inside, going out, covering a running back. But just the fact that allow the kid just to play a year or two, and then maybe, you know, once he has it down to second nature with the NFL speed and playing style, then give him the green dot. But for now, Joe Schobert could be a game changer for our defense.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that because I feel like our defense was good already, but like...
But realistically, middle linebacker number 2 was a big question mark.
True.
We didn't know. Like, we were hopeful about Robert Spillane. But we didn't know what we were going to get. You kind of know what you're going to get with a guy like Joe Schobert. He's 27 years old. He already has like 550 tackles in 5 seasons. The guy is a tackling machine and happens to be good against the pass, which was the...
Avery Williamson, sorry.
Yeah, the big opportunity, we'll say, from last year.
Vince Williams.
Yeah. Vince was way better against the pass than Avery was.
Oh, I know, than Avery. Yeah, but Avery was still a liability.
Awful.
So, yeah, our offense, I think, just improved notably. I wouldn't say phenomenally or anything, but notably improved right from that trade.
Yeah.
Which, again, happened in the middle of the game. And then so
which
these inside linebacker guys.
Realistically, it happened before the game, but didn't get reported until the middle
of
the game.
True.
But yeah, I saw
Mike Tomlin sitting there on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do a 6th.
I saw somebody saying that the linebackers played so bad that they traded for somebody in the middle of the game. I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that.
No.
That's
not to say that the trade hadn't started beforehand and then the front office finished it during the game. That's not to say that that didn't happen. Mm. But again, you never know. We can't know. It doesn't matter. The point is
it's a good deal.
It's a great deal. It sucks for the cap to some degree.
Yeah, but
because we're not
going
to be able to keep a few guys probably now that I would like. Well, maybe smaller guys.
Yeah, and there's the way a lot of these deals go, though, too, is they're front loaded as far as guarantees. He's in the second year of the deal this year. You can kind of get out of it the next couple of years and just, like, if you released him, you'd have very little cap penalty.
That's true. It's not that we want to release him, but true.
But if they wanted to, like, let's say something happened and, like, Robert Spillane blows their socks off, has to come in for an injury or something.
Robert
Spillane. Or somebody's out with COVID.
Don't take
or Buddy Johnson
socks.
Comes in and just blows things up. And you decide you want to move forward with one of them and not pay all that money.
Yeah,
you don't
release
have
or trade is an option there.
Yeah, you can just release them.
So that's good.
Good to go.
But let's move on in the game. Let's talk more about some of these other guys. Yeah. We talked a lot about Jahmyr Jones earlier and how phenomenal he played. Other linebackers that you saw, UG3 came in, three tackles, not too bad.
No, but he missed a bunch of them, man. He had a tough time tackling in the game. I do want to say before we get past it, Isaiah Buggs had a real nice pressure early in the game, almost got a sack and forced an incomplete pass.
Yeah, he's got to finish that, though. He did take out, I believe it was Alex Highsmith he wound up taking. No, it was Henry Mondo. He took out Henry Mondo diving for the quarterback.
Bring him to the ground, man. Bring him to the ground. A shared sack by Chris Wormley and Jahmyr Jones also.
Yeah.
So Wormley getting to the quarterback, nice to see.
Which they didn't give him that on paper.
Who got that one?
That was just Jahmyr Jones.
Just Jahmyr?
Yep. They did not give Wormley anything. I don't know how you just define it, but whatever.
Yeah, you know what? Jahmyr was the first one to it. But
do it to it. Sorry. Yeah.
God, someone help me.
I have energy today. I don't know why.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Moving forward to linebackers, as you were trying to do, like we said, Jahmyr Jones had a hell of a game, man. Just all over the place.
That game is probably why he's still on the roster.
Yeah,
like our outside linebacker depth isn't crazy good,
but there's some guys behind them still that get cut first.
And I think Jahmyr Jones, he may have just earned a roster spot or at least a practice squad spot.
You look to see how he does on special teams now, because that's the big value with Cassius Marsh. Is that he's very good on special teams. If this kid has good games the next couple games on special teams, on kick coverage, on punt coverage, boy, look out, Quincy Roche. You might be looking at the practice squad.
Yep. We didn't see Alex Highsmith get a sack. He did hit the quarterback once, which was good.
Yeah.
He was applying pressure, which is what you need to see out of that somebody that's going to be more than likely your day one starter.
Yep.
That's about it that I can think of for linebackers. It was nice to see Devin Bush in there. Marcus Allen played a little bit, but nothing else crazy happened from any of those guys. Cornerbacks, we got to see our own Justin Lane get a pick.
Yeah, man. And
great pick.
You hit him right in the chest, so you better not drop it. But you can't fault him for just being in the right place.
Nope.
So nice to see that, especially since there's been a lot of questions as to whether or not he's playing well enough and practicing well enough to make the team.
Yeah.
And
that's what we talked about whenever we first signed Steven Nelson.
Yeah.
We were talking about different cornerbacks that we had. And, you know, I think that year he had five or whatever it was when he played with the Chiefs, five interceptions. And we were talking about him and we were like, listen, two of those are probably skill. Three of those are just being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Like knowing the defense and being where you're supposed to be. And it's good seeing Justin Lane being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. And then Pitts, right?
Yeah.
Lafayette Pitts had a pick also.
Listen, I thought it was Troy Polamalu. I was confused.
This was a different story. This was not one that just hit him in the chest. Mm-mm. He jumped the route. Pitts showed some ability there, jumped the route, made the pick, and then went and got a little yak afterwards, man. Yeah,
got some good yak.
Yeah.
And I think the most impressive thing for me is that a young guy like that, typically in that situation, will either A, go for the ball and miss because they're so excited. We've seen that happen with Terrell Edmonds, I think, of his beginning career, not recently. Not that it's saying that, it won't still happen. but then either that or they just like, oh, I want to secure the catch, or I want to secure the tackle, make sure that I don't give up a big play, and they just go for the tackle and maybe even get hit with a pass interference. No, he jumped the route. He jumped the route to the point where he was physically in front of the other person. It wasn't just like going through his body, and he got the ball and he looked like he knew how to run with it.
Yeah,
he wasn't just flailing it out in the open.
Yeah, yeah, you're 100% right though. That's either a pick or it's an incomplete pass. There's no way it's getting caught.
Nope.
So great job to put your body in the right position to make the play, one way or the other.
That's what we need.
Just how awesome is the play going to be? And it turned out pretty awesome.
And again, I think James will agree with this one more than maybe the Jahmyr Jones. Lafayette Pitts picking that ball off saved his spot.
Saved his butt, man.
Otherwise, he'd be cut right now.
At least for a week. We'll see what happens on the next cut down. But before we get out of roster breakdown from this game here, Safeties, Trey Norwood gave up the touchdown.
Yep.
That was just a bad angle.
Real bad pursuit angle.
On a screenplay like that, there's no reason that no one should get a hand on him. And you saw Terrell Edmonds,
yep,
force it back in, which is exactly what he's supposed to do. And Norwood's just got to take a better angle, man. I know that guy's a lot faster than him. You're talking a 4.35, 40 wide receiver versus Norwood ran like a 4.55.
Yeah.
But still, you got to take a better angle to not let him beat you to the sideline.
Just straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like typically.
Or force him back inside, then Spillane makes the tackle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just he's got to do a better job of that. And that could just be a little bit of him not having a lot of experience playing safety.
Yeah, very true. So,
yeah, that made me, I'll tell you what, as good as I felt about the backup safeties after the first game, it's just the opposite after the second game. I felt that they struggled in the second game.
Yeah.
Which Trey Norwood, I felt, just kind of stuck out the most on that one play.
Yeah.
Past that, I didn't see any obnoxiously horrible play from the rest of them. But also no pass breakups. So you want to see some of that happen, or at least somebody come in and lay the wood on somebody, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So
the last thing we're going to talk about, Jordan frickin' Berry.
Had one heck of a game, man. You can tell he feels the pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, his leg is like, hey, we got to go into overdrive. Four punts, 176 total yards, two of them inside the 20, and 54 was as long. I'll take that.
First one was down to the 2-yard line by James Pierre, and then the second one to the 7-yard line.
That's a better average than Presley Harvin's was last week. It was 1-11.
Yeah. And a 10. He had a 10.
He did have a 10, so that's fair. But yeah, Jordan Berry coming out to play.
Maybe we could get a 6th-round
pick. I knew you were going to say it. I was waiting for it. I knew you were going to say it. Listen,
they did
maybe
it before.
I thought we could have got
before. They traded a punter away before.
Oh, I know. I thought we freaking could have got a 6th-round pick for Mr. Sam Sloman, but we already cut him.
No.
Man, he played well. 1-for-1 on field goal, 2-for-2 on extra points.
As bad as he was in the first game, he was the opposite in this game.
He played better. He still can't kick the ball far.
Yeah, he doesn't have a real strong leg.
No. Which is shocking. He not looks like he's just a meatball.
Looks like he eats a lot of meatballs.
It's true. It's very true. But so that's going to do it for the game. Nothing crazy. Kick return or punt return. You saw Isaiah McCoy get one punt return for -7 yards. Hashtag he was released. So that's about all there is there. I'm going to go over the releases first.
Yeah. And also, so after the game, the Steelers let go linebacker Tigray Scales. This was a corresponding move to the Joe Schobert trade because they would have been one man over.
Yep.
After that, today on Tuesday, we're recording, they reduced the roster down to 85, which was required by the NFL. Next week on the 24th, they'll be required to reduce it down to 80. So we'll go over that next week. When we're talking about our recap of that game and our 53-man roster predictions.
Yeah, we'll give our 5 roster predictions of who's getting cut the next day.
We'll probably know that night, honestly.
That's true.
But first guy was defensive lineman Abdullah Anderson, who has showed some pretty good effort and heart in the first couple games. But again, he's buried on the depth chart, so didn't really have a great chance. Steven Denmark was a surprise to us.
Yep.
He had a really good first game, I thought, but wasn't playing until the fourth quarter. A bigger corner at 6'2", 220. I thought he kind of looked like he belonged, but didn't really stick out in a positive manner in this second preseason game, being that Lafayette Pitts did stick out in a positive manner. Denmark got released. Wide receiver Isaiah McCoy took one punt the wrong direction. That doesn't work well for you sometimes, and he was released. Kicker Sam Sloman also released.
Fat rip.
Yep, unfortunately, you do need to be able to kick the ball off far enough to at least come close to the end zone.
Yeah.
If there's no danger of it ever going in the end zone, they're just going to set up for a return, and they're going to start getting creative with it. And then offensive lineman Brandon Walton, was like third-team left guard, I believe.
Yeah.
So not really playing much in the first couple games. Was a real long shot to even make the practice squad, honestly. So he's out of the way now, too. So we're now down to 85 guys and have a lot more cap space now because of Stefan Tuitt restructuring his contract.
Yeah, restructured it, saved about $6 million. Which puts Pittsburgh right around the 16, 17 million under the cap.
Yeah.
So we got some money.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do with it, but we got some money. I know what I would do with 17 million.
I'll tell you what I would do. I'll tell you right now.
Tell me.
The TJ Watt extension is happening.
Oh, and it's using some of that money.
I'd front load it a little bit.
Yep.
Why not? Front load it and put some of it on this year's cap so you have more cap available in future years.
I'm sure he wouldn't complain.
No.
I wouldn't complain if I was him.
I guarantee he would not complain about that one bit. I'd throw like an extra $5 million on this year's cap.
Yep.
And then you have that much more for future years that it's not going against those years.
We'll take that.
But yeah, that's just one thought I had. Also, NFL's doing their top 100 again.
They are. They're not doing it the same way they used to.
No,
they're just throwing it out there.
It's like they forgot about it, and they did 6 hours in one night, and they must be doing another six probably this upcoming weekend.
Apparently. But so far, only two Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, and that means there's probably only going to be three based off of who was already on the list.
Yep.
At number 57, Cameron Hayward.
Congratulations, sir.
52, Minka. Which apparently he was like 39 last year, so it was kind of an insult. Weird.
Whatever.
But, yeah.
But I expect there's no reason TJ Watt should not be top 10.
Yeah, I think he'll be top 10. I'll be very, very surprised if he's not.
I'll be surprised and mad. Yeah. Both.
It'll be kind of disrespectful if he's not in the top 10.
Yeah, 100%. So again, we're looking forward to this upcoming Saturday night's game. We may be watching it together. Depending, I might be going to the Steelers game.
Well, hopefully Cody's going to the game.
So we will wait and find out. We're looking forward to that either way to see the Steelers play again. And, we will talk to you guys on the next episode, which will be recorded next Monday night
with our 53 man roster predictions.
You heard it here first. Again, thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.